Well, this is the last in our sermon series in called The Joy of Generosity. And this is a sermon series on stewardship. Happily, our church council, our leadership team invited me to preach on stewardship this fall. I say happily because I think this is a very important topic. And I'm really thankful for the way the Lord has blessed it. Just as we all need to review our finances once in a while as individuals and families, in terms of like our philosophy of giving, where we feel called to give and how we feel called to use God's resources, we need to do the same thing as a church. And happily, we're doing that now. I think it's been very blessed. So thank you for joining me on this journey. For those of you who have been with us and for those who are guests, you get to hear a sermon on giving. Isn't that great? Probably not that common, right? But I think it's going to be just fine. It's interesting, though, maybe you've noticed if you've been with us for a while, that although we've spent two Sundays talking about stewardship, we've not yet talked about giving. Have you noticed that? Well, today's the day. We needed to till the soil. We needed to prepare the way for this final sermon, which talks about generous giving. But as we've seen so far, stewardship is more than just about giving money. It's also about using all that God gives us. Trees, times, talents, treasures, all the things, all the gifts that God gives us for His honor and glory. It's also about avoiding the pitfalls of consumerism, starting to depend on things, on money and things, to fulfill us, instead of using them as the gifts that God calls us to use them for. And yes, stewardship is about giving generously, so let's talk about that today. And not surprisingly, the Apostle Paul has thought lots about giving. Actually, Jesus had thought lots about giving too. But we go to 2 Corinthians 9 as one of the primary texts on giving in the Scriptures, and a very, very important message for us to hear. Basically, what Paul says, if I can kind of begin to sum it up, Paul says to the Corinthians, God's people give generously to the poor out of gratitude for salvation. That's basically what he says. And we're going to unpack that now. Now, it's interesting. This is actually Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. The church of Corinth was an ancient church. And Paul wrote many letters to the New Testament churches. And he wrote especially long letters to the church of Corinth. He had lots to say to this really blessed and broken church. Corinth was a very blessed church, as you read in his first letter. They had many, many spiritual gifts. So I'm assuming giving is one of those gifts. They had lots of knowledge. And as we learn from the historical context, if you look at the history, Corinth was also quite a wealthy church. There were poor among them. Because Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 11 when he talks about how to celebrate the Lord's Supper with the rich and the poor. Rich, don't forget the poor. Make sure they have a place at the table. But they were a church of means. So Paul says now, it's time to step up and take care of the poor in the world. And this is exactly what Paul encourages them to do in this letter. But before he does that, again, not surprisingly, Paul says, we're going to talk about giving, but you need to understand that the generous giving we do is all based on the gospel of grace. And so in chapter 5, before this text, he says this, which kind of summarizes his gospel message. He says, we implore you on God, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So as usual, Paul starts with the gospel. He lays a gospel foundation. And he says, okay, people, brothers and sisters, let's build on this foundation. Receive Christ Jesus. Receive the gospel. And now let's build on it. And that's exactly what he does in this text. And again, the theme basically is this. Because of the gospel, we're compelled to give generously to the poor with cheerful hearts. Let's go on to unpack that. Now, the little history, historical context, you wouldn't know just based on this passage, but if you look at the preceding text, you'll know that there's a problem, and there's a struggle in Jerusalem. The church of Jerusalem is poor. They're struggling right now. And so Paul says, you guys who have means, church of Corinth, you who have means, also like the Macedonians, they also have means. You need to now step up and give to the poor people in the church of Jerusalem. And then Paul goes on to give a number of reasons why they should step up and give to the poor out of gratitude for God's salvation. Now, we had some technical difficulties this morning. You got it? Fantastic. Thank you. I know. She's amazing. John, you're really good. You're really good. I know I'm biased, but she is amazing. So we'll just leave it at that. Because Paul is a brilliant teacher, and he's dense in his teaching. He gives a lot of points. We're going to project these basic points that Paul gives, and we're just going to walk through this text. So a topical series, but an expository approach to this passage. So Paul incites the Corinthians to give generously through a number of principles, promises, and results on giving generously. So first principle on giving comes in verse 6. You reap what you sow. Now, most of us have heard that saying before. And if you are a farmer or a gardener, you totally get this, right? If you don't plant any seeds, you're not going to get a crop. It's the law of nature. And Paul says the same thing. It's the same thing with the spiritual. In the spiritual world, you reap what you sow. We know that we are here by God's grace, and these are all God's gifts, but you still have to put something into your spiritual life. You have to invest in it, right? Or you won't grow in the same way. So Paul uses this familiar agricultural metaphor to help us understand a basic principle in the spiritual life. We all want to flourish spiritually as well as physically. In order to do that, Paul says, you need to give generously, a physical act that has great spiritual consequences. That leads us to the second principle on giving in verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. Don't you love that? God does not want us to give grudgingly, to give with a bad attitude. Oh, I have to give again. Man, can't those people get it together? Why are they always asking us for money? Or why, whatever the case may be. No, that's not how God functions. That's not his heart. God loves to help people. God loves to give to the poor. He wants them to flourish. He says, now you're called to have that same heart, to give cheerfully. And I'm so thankful that our church council has invited me to talk about this, because Paul says, give whatever you feel called to give. Reflect on it. Pray about it. How often do we pray about our giving? How often do you pray about your giving? This is such an important act of ministry, an act of worship, that Paul says, we need to pray about this. It's so important. And as you pray about it, God will reveal it to you. And then he will help you to be cheerful and glad in your giving. So that's what we're invited to do. And every Sunday morning, as you notice, the offering bags go around. We take a collection. This is an important act of worship. This isn't just taking a collection. This is giving back to God out of gratitude for salvation. God wants it to be a joyful, cheerful time. Maybe we should be like those Africans who dance around. It seems to be a little bit overkill to me. But I'm saying they're giving joyfully. They're cheerful in their giving. Let's move in this direction, becoming the cheerful, joyful givers that God calls us to be. Because God loves a cheerful giver. This leads us to the third principle in verse 8. God blesses us so we can give. This is a, I love this perspective or this teaching. It's all God's gifts. It's all God's stuff. God gives us money through our hard work and even sometimes not, like through gifts. And he gives us, and now he says, God blesses you so you can give to others. It's not just for us, right? The money we have, the gifts we have, it's not just for us. Now, having said that, I know that giving is easier, or this is easier said than done. Giving is hard. We often don't want to release what God has given us. And I understand that fully, especially maybe when budgets are tight, when we're stretching our last dollars. It takes a lot of faith to give generously, doesn't it? It is a huge act of worship, but also an act of discipline to be able to give generously. But it's helpful to remember this third principle, that it's all God's. God blesses us so we can actually give to others. So those are the first, those are the three principles on giving that Paul gives the Corinthians and us. And I think they're clear and compelling, but as I said, they're not easy. So maybe that's why Paul goes on to give some promises regarding giving, just to help move us forward. So let's look at some promises. In verse 10, first promise, God will bless you materially or physically and spiritually. And again, Paul returns to an agricultural metaphor with this promise. A farmer sows seed expecting a crop. And generally, that's what happens. When you sow seed, the crop will grow. Of course, there's other variables in growing a good crop. As you ask any of the farmers or anyone in agriculture here, they'll tell you that. Lots of variables. But the idea is that God gives, he continues to give so we can plant, we can grow, and then we give to others. Basically, what I hear God saying in this point, in this promise, is that because of your generous giving, God will continue to provide for you physically, but also spiritually, which is the ultimate benefit of giving. Now, again, when we think about this idea of giving generously, it's helpful to remember it's all a gift from God. God is the one who gives you all you need and then some, so you can give generously. The giver of all good gifts invites us to give generously to others out of gratitude for salvation. And the wonderful promise from this is not only that God will keep giving, not only that God will keep giving you, giving physically so you can give, but also there's a promise of a harvest of righteousness, a promise of spiritual blessing. It takes us to our second promise in verse 11. Giving results in thanksgiving. Paul says, if you keep on giving generously, God will provide for you so you can keep on giving. And what will the result be? Ongoing generosity. But notice this, even more, thanksgiving to God. Personally, I find this a very compelling reason to give generously. Not only will people be provided for, which is a wonderful practical benefit, but also God will be thanked. People will thank God for that gift. Isn't that amazing to think about? When you give to someone, God is blessed, God is thanked for your generosity. That makes me want to give generously. So we have some principles on giving in this passage. We also have some promises. And then Paul goes on to give some results. So the first result of giving in verse 12, practical provision and thanksgiving. Again, here Paul continues the conversation he started in verse 11. The natural result of giving generously is people will receive what they need, right? You give a grocery hamper to someone in need, They have food. It's practical, right? Their needs will be met. But again, there is another very significant spiritual benefit which Paul kind of reinforces in this verse. God will be thanked. A really compelling reason to give. So as we give to the poor of the world, they will hopefully receive our gift. They may even thank us for it, but more importantly, they will thank God because they know who actually is giving this gift. They know this is a gift from God through God's people. So as we give generously to others, guess what? God gets the glory. The second result of giving in verse 14, prayers for you. So, think of the last time you received a gift. How did you respond? You probably said thank you, right? You maybe even gave a gift back in return. Just a natural response to a gift received. But remember, the recipients of this financial gift that Paul talks about are poor. These are the poor people in Jerusalem. They probably can't give back to the wealthy people of Corinth. So what can they do? They can say thank you to God or thank you to the Corinthians in response to the gift, and they probably did. But even more, they will say thank you through their prayers. Now, isn't this a wonderful result of giving? As you give to others who are in need, they are moved to pray for you. A wonderful response and a really practical way to give back to the givers. I mean, who doesn't want people to pray for them, right? I think this is just a really compelling reason to give. So there we have it. The principles, promises, and results of giving generously according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, I'm sure you'll agree that Paul gives some really compelling reasons for giving generously in our sermon text. But I think the most compelling one comes right at the end, in verse 15, when he shouts out. I love how Paul does this. He'll have a time of teaching. And then at the end of the lesson, or maybe even the middle, he says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." What gift is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about the gift of God's grace given through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is how we started this conversation on giving. It's all about the gospel. Giving to the poor out of gratitude for God's salvation. And now Paul ends it this way. This salvation through Christ is the ultimate gift. And in response to that gift, freely given, right? Remember infant baptism? Perfect illustration. God's grace to helpless sinners. We can't earn it. In response to this gift freely given, we are invited to give generously to the poor with cheerful hearts. And Paul, in chapter 8, he summarizes the gospel again. We need to hear this. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Isn't that amazing? You may not have a lot of money, but you are spiritually rich in Christ. All of us are spiritually wealthy in Christ. God has given us this indescribable gift. Like, this is the most important gift we could ever receive. And now out of gratitude for this gift, we are called to give generously to the poor with cheerful hearts. You know, I know that some of you struggle financially. I know that. Some of you don't. Some of you have many resources. But as we look at the broad context of Canadian culture, even in a time of economic hardship, most of us have more than what we need. So we are invited now, based on God's word, to prayerfully reflect on this indescribable gift of Jesus Christ our Lord's salvation through his shed blood. And then now we are invited to prayerfully reflect on how God is calling us To give generously to the poor out of gratitude for salvation, giving with a cheerful heart. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us pray. Lord, you have given us so many gifts, but the gift that we're most thankful for is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we just want to thank you again for reminding us about that gift. And now out of gratitude, we long to give generously to the poor out of gratitude for salvation. We long to be prayerful and reflective about this ministry. Please walk with us. Please guide us. Some of us really struggle to give. Others have the gift of giving, and they just can give with just such open hearts. But Lord, you call all of us to give. Show us how and where we are to give of the blessings you've given to us. Thank you for teaching us today. Thank you for giving us grace, reminding us of salvation through the sacrament of baptism and through the proclamation of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.